scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. I'll be reading verse 21. 1 Peter 2, 21. For to this we were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see each and every one of you. We're always so thankful for the opportunities we have to worship God, spirit, and truth. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're very glad that you've come our way, and we want you to know that you are honored guests, and you are welcome back at any and every opportunity that you have to be with us. Certainly, we are going through the deacon process. If you'll get any slips in, I know that the elders have already started to look at some of those names and started to make plans and really thinking about what can be done in that respect. And so certainly, if you have any ideas, you can put them on the slip. And we are looking forward to moving through that process and looking at good men that can help us, and certainly their wives as well, as we move forward as a congregation. You know, you think of servant leadership. When I think of elders, I think of servants. When I think of deacons, I think of servants. But really, when I think of Christians, I think of servants. And certainly, Jesus set that perfect example. And many times, I think we have to constantly remind ourselves, where do the steps of Jesus lead? Where do they lead? Where would they take us? If we want to be Christians and we want to follow that example, as Mickey read for us just a few moments ago, where would Jesus take us if we were to follow his steps one at a time? Where would they take us if we took them one at a time and just kept following and going? And certainly one of those areas, I think, would be in relation to our service. As we think of our lives and thinking of us serving God, we think of the great servant, Jesus Christ. And when we think of the spiritual plane, if you turn over to Matthew chapter 20, the discussion that is brought up on that occasion is greatness in serving. In Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 and following. Now we have the sons Zebedee, we have the mother of Zebedee's sons, and they come with her, and they kneel down, and they ask something from Jesus. And they're asking, you know, how to be great. And Jesus really is going to turn it, because they're trying to focus on perhaps a worldly greatness. And in chapter 18, we even see some of the disciples are having this discussion, how to be great. And Jesus really going to turn this on them and say, you know, if you want to be great in the kingdom, talking about spiritually speaking, you really need to serve. Certainly when we look at Jesus, we see that service. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning, is servant leadership. Where would servant leadership take us if we are going to follow the great servant Jesus? Where would we find ourselves? Where would we end up if we took that to its fullness? Understanding that true greatness in relation to our spiritual lives is connected to service. And that cannot be forgotten. Many individuals, when they go throughout this life, they could become great on the physical plane. They could perhaps make a name for themselves. They could perhaps have a business. And certainly there's financial greatness in the world. There's political and influence greatness. But when we're talking about spiritual greatness, it's connected to one thing. And it's one thing that we have to have our attention directed towards many times, is that in relation to service. And the reason I think our attention needs to be directed there over and over again is if we look at Jesus and we look where he led and we look what he says about service, if we see time and time again, if we really realize where Jesus led, we realize the great service that he gave to us. The service of sacrifice, the service of suffering, the service of giving your all. And that is powerful. Because many times when you read about servant leadership, they aren't really taking you many times to where Jesus led, which is the cross. And that's exactly where Jesus leads. When you think about Jesus and him talking about his service, he says, you know what, I didn't really come to be served. I came to serve and give my life a ransom for many. So if we're going to talk about service, if we're going to talk about servant leadership, where does it really lead? You know where it leads to? It leads to sacrifice. You know, servant leadership leads to suffering. Servant leadership leadership leads to giving your all. That is certainly the example that we see from Jesus. And if we are going to be great on the spiritual plane, not in terms of greatness and pride, but in terms of doing the best we can for our God and doing what we can on this plane of life, we're going to have to serve. And Satan is very good at distracting us and trying to say that service isn't important. He's good at that. Well, how does the devil do that? Well, he's been using the same tools, and I'd like to think that the Lord's people, we're not ignorant of his devices. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, it talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. Satan is putting these things out there always, trying to blind us so that we don't see the ways that we can serve. The ways that we can sacrifice. The ways that we can suffer. The ways that we can give our all for those that are around us. You know, the lust of flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, they're out there, and Satan is trying to distract us with those. And what a sad thing to distract us with. Because in the next verse, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, when it talks about those things, it says, these things are passing away. We're going to take all our time on the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, that we get to a point where we don't have any time to serve. Which that's the exact opposite of what the Lord did. You know, we think of all these things of the world. It's not that we can't have jobs. It's not that we can't work. It's not that we can't make a living. It's not that we can't provide for our family. But we get to a point where we become so blinded by the world that we can't see the spiritual service which we can render to our brothers and sisters in Christ and those in the world. In 1 John chapter 6 and verse 7, it says, you brought nothing into this world, and it's certain that you're going to carry nothing out. Don't get distracted by what Satan wants you to be distracted by. Let's look to the steps of Jesus and see where he leads as a servant leader. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, as read for us, it says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving an example that we should follow his steps. Let's follow the steps of Jesus this morning and see where they lead. Number one, if we follow the steps of Jesus, I think what we'll find is that the steps of Jesus lead to sacrifice. They lead to sacrifice. And actually, you're going to look, I think if you look at the 3 points on our outline, is all of these things that we're going to talk about are incredibly difficult. Sacrifice, that's where Jesus leads. Suffering, that's where Jesus leads. And giving our all, that's where Jesus leads. Before we get into that, I think it would be good to pause and say, how in the world did Jesus go through all the sacrifice that he went through, all the suffering that he went through? How was he able to give it all and lay it on the line for us? And I think there's one answer. It's love. Is that all great servants that I know, all great leaders that I know that have this mindset of a servant, they all have great love. Certainly, there's many places we could turn in the Bible to talk about love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is one place. Love suffers long and it is kind. It does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Does not provoke. Does not behave rudely. Does no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. Certainly we talk about love. Love is the foundational piece of servant leadership. All great leaders I know, all great servants I know have great love. And the reason is that love seeks the highest good of the other. Love seeks the highest good of the other. When we think about love and how important it is Jesus loved us, and what he did is he says, I'm going to put the whole world before myself. I'm going to sacrifice for the world. I'm going to suffer for the world. I'm going to give my all to the world. That is servant leadership, and that is what Jesus did. But how could he do all those things? How, when he was beat and he was mocked and had the crown of thorns upon his head, and all these things were going on and all these things were happening to him, how could he continue through such circumstances? It was because of love. It's that he had taken his interest and said, my interests are not necessarily, I'm going to put their interests before my own. Without love that seeks the highest good for others, we cannot be servant leaders. In fact, this love is so powerful, this sacrificial love that Jesus models that's going to take him through all of this to serve the world, is we start to realize that this love is so powerful, it doesn't matter the cost of sacrifice, it doesn't matter the cost of suffering, love is going to trump all. And certainly that was what Jesus modeled in his life. I want you to think about some of your relationships here on this earth. Would you say that you love your spouse, that you seek the highest good for your spouse, that you will do anything you can for their highest good? Would you not sacrifice for your spouse? Would you not suffer for your spouse? Would you not give your all for your spouse? Certainly that's the love that God is talking about, the love that Jesus carries through His service to mankind. When you think about your children, when you think about your grandchildren, when you think about the love that you have for them, does that love not lead you to sacrifice? Does it not lead you to suffer? Does it not lead you to do all that you can in your earthly power to help support them through whatever they're going through? Certainly that's what Jesus did. That is what Jesus modeled. The only way that Jesus could be a servant leader is if He loved first. And as we look at our Christian lives, and we look at the world, and we look at our brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to ask ourselves a question. Do we love? Because if we have love, you know what we're going to do? We are going to sacrifice. We are going to suffer. We are going to give our all for each other. And what a beautiful thing that is. You ever thought that our walk with God, our walk in love, is tied to sacrifice? In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says this. It says, "And walk in love as Christ also loved us, and given Himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice." In Ephesians 5, it says, "Walk in love." But then it talks about Jesus' walk in love. Where did Jesus' walk of love take Him? It took Him to be a sacrifice, an offering on our behalf. And when we have the love that the Bible speaks of, a sacrificial love, we start to see how sacrifice is possible. Do we sacrifice for one another? Do we sacrifice for our spouse? Do we sacrifice for our kids? Do we sacrifice for our brothers and sisters in Christ? Sacrifice is not convenient, and it's not easy. And it will never be easy. The only way you can get through such sacrifices is love. And that's what Jesus did. Was it easy? The walk to the cross. It says it was a walk of love. A walk of love to offer Himself a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. You know, people try to reach the world in different ways. You know, some people try to reach the world through government. Some people try to reach the world through army. Sometimes people try to reach the world through intimidation and all types of things. Christians have a very special way to reach the world, and it's sacrificial love. It's putting other people's interests before our own when we go out into the world. That's what Jesus did. That's what's the foundation of Christianity. When we think of the first command about loving our God, and then the second is loving our neighbor, really all this, claims the commandment. Everything ties back to love as we think about it. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28, it says, "So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of men. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin for salvation." Jesus Christ was offered for us. Jesus sacrificed for us. So if we're going to talk about servant leadership, if we're going to talk what makes a great servant is one that sacrifices. And the only way you're going to get through the sacrifices that the Bible talks about is with the sacrificial love that the Bible, that Jesus models as He goes throughout His life. We're not going to reach the world with government. We're not going to reach the world with army. We're not going to reach the world with a gun, but we can reach the world with sacrificial love. The same sacrificial love that Jesus modeled on the cross. Is sacrificial love easy? Is sacrificial love convenient? Was it convenient to go to the cross? Was it easy to go to the cross? It was a sacrificial love that put Him there. The question is will we sacrifice for one another? I'll remind you, love seeks the highest good of the other. That's why Jesus was there. Jesus was there because of love. And because of love, He could go through such a sacrifice. When you think about your service to God, can you point out the sacrifice? Can you point out the suffering? Can you point out where you're trying to give your all? Now here's the thing. We all come from different walks of life. We all have different talents and abilities. I understand that. But when you look at Jesus, did He not take it to the limit? He gave it all. And I'm not saying that we're all going to be preachers. I'm not going to say that we all end up in the same spot. But we all can sacrifice for God in some way. We can all suffer for each other some way. Well, why would I sacrifice for others? Why would I suffer for others? Because of the love which we see in the Bible, the love that Jesus modeled. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 45, it says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Now, there's a connection here we can't miss. Jesus says, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve, and to do what? What type of service did Jesus render? He said, to give my life a ransom for men. Jesus is not trying to hide what sacrificial service is all about, what sacrificial love is all about. He says, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. Well, how? I'm going to give my life for others. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to give everything I can for others. You know, that's a very special type of love. And I think sometimes we need to think about the other half. Not only do we think about the person demonstrating the sacrificial love, but when somebody demonstrates sacrificial love on your behalf, does that not create a very powerful bond? When you see your spouse sacrifices for you, that's something special, does it not? When you know they're doing something that is a sacrifice for you, does that not make the bond stronger? That's what Jesus did for us. It's one of the strongest bonds we can have, one of the deepest loves we can have, when we're willing to sacrifice for others. That's what Jesus did. And when Jesus did that, I think he understood that this bond would bring us close to Jesus. Not only should it bring us close to Jesus, but it should bring us close to others. When somebody sacrifices for you, they want what's best for you. You can easily see that. You can feel that. And it does something very special. And it is a Christian special weapon where we can go out in the world and we can sacrifice for others. And they can see that we're making sacrifices. We know you're busy. We know you've got things going on. And when you walk away from those things in the interest of us, it means something. We know you're working hard. We know you've got things going on in your life. When you walk away from some of those things to serve others, to sacrifice for others, it can be seen and it can be felt. I think it's Titus chapter 2 where it talks about Jesus certainly sacrificing for us. It talks about the grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And because God has offered this opportunity to be saved, it should do something for us. And in that passage, it talks about us living a better life. But really, we get closely bound to Jesus because of the sacrificial love. In verse 14 it says, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Jesus sacrificed himself for us. He gave himself for us. And when we understand that, it does something special. When we see somebody else as sacrificed on our behalf, I think that we get closer to those individuals because we see that. And we are to be God's special people, zealous for good works. How can we check out of the Lord's service when we look at what Jesus had did for us? Did Jesus check out? Did Jesus retire? Did Jesus, he went and he took it to the farthest he could. He went as far as he could. And we see his sacrificial love. We see his servant leadership. Number one, if we're going to be servant leaders, if we're going to be better servants of God, we cannot forget sacrificial love, which is the foundation of Christianity. And what it does is when we have that type of love, we're willing to sacrifice for one another. Not only that, point number two is we're willing to suffer for one another. You don't think that Jesus suffered for those? He sacrificed, yes. But he also suffered. You know, Jesus came, so I think in many ways he could be relatable. But in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, we really get a picture. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Jesus left heaven, sacrificed, certainly, and he came to do what he needed to do. And we see how much he gave up, how much he sacrificed, how much he suffered. It says he was obedient to the point of death. To the point of death. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 it says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Jesus was a servant leader not only because he sacrificed, because he suffered. And I don't know if I can put into words really how Jesus suffered, because you just think about all the dynamics. Who is Jesus doing this for? You think about the personal cost. You think of all those things. But he was obedient. He was willing to be a servant. And when we think about it, Jesus was aligned to God. He was going to do the Father's will. He was going to be obedient. What did God ask him to do? He asked him to be that sacrifice. We think about to the garden. In Luke chapter 22, verse 42, he says, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Wait, Jesus suffered because he was being obedient and he was doing what God wanted him to do. If we, as Christians, say, "I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to be the best version of myself. I'm going to try to sacrifice. I'm going to try to help. I'm going to try to serve." You know what? Eventually in your Christian life, I'm just going to tell you, if it hasn't happened, you will suffer for doing what God wants you to do. Jesus suffered for doing what God wanted him to do. He wanted him to be that sacrifice. He was that sacrifice. He was obedient to the point of death. Are we obedient to the point of death? Are we obedient to the point that we will walk through known suffering to serve our fellow man, to serve each other? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered." There is no doubt that Jesus suffered for others. He suffered to help others. He suffered to save others. And how in the world was he able to go through that and do that? Because he was focused on the love that he had for those individuals. If you're going to be a servant of God, at some point, if we're following the steps of Jesus, we're going to sacrifice. If we're following the steps of Jesus, we're going to suffer for one another. And I know that's not an easy thing to say, but really, when we look at it, is that not where Jesus is going to lead us? I think of John chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for his friends." We see a sacrifice, we also see suffering. To give up one's life, certainly Jesus did that. We will suffer if we serve the Lord. Many individuals, I don't know what's happened to Christianity in terms of, but we've got a Christianity that never interferes with your life. It's always doing what we want. It's always seeking the things that are best for us. But really, when we start to look at Jesus Christ, he sacrificed, he suffered, he gave it all. And at some point, we have to look at ourselves and say, "You know what? I'm not perfect, and I have my shortcomings, but I am willing to have the love that Jesus had for others. If he is willing to have that love for me, I'll carry that love in my life, and I will try to do what I can. When sacrifices come, I will try to sacrifice. When it comes time to suffer, I will try to suffer and do those things which are good and right." Now, that suffering can come in different forms. I understand that. Sometimes it can come through persecution. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." Certainly, some of the suffering that we can incur is from the world. But I think sometimes there's suffering in serving those that you love. There is suffering that sometimes comes by serving those that you love. That's what Jesus did. He suffered for those that he loved. Certainly he was suffering for his enemies. We understand that. But we see how powerful this love is. That this love goes through not only our physical family, spiritual family, but it even should go through our enemies, which is what Jesus had. A love that he was willing to suffer for the world that was around him. We see all kinds of occasions where individuals suffered for the cause of Christ. How are they able to go through these sufferings? How are they able to go through these hard times? It's because of the love that they have, the love that they carry, the hope that they carry. And we as Christians have to carry these things as well. We have to carry the hope and love that we see in Jesus Christ, the hope that he gives us and the love which he certainly models for us. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, it says, "Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." What is the cross? In Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, it says, "Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Certainly that cross could be many things. But when I start to think about Jesus' walk and his walk to Calvary to be crucified, certainly Jesus was going through some suffering as he was trying to serve mankind. What's the driving force? The driving force is love. And it's the only thing that can really keep us going in the darkest moments that we face in our lives. when you're going through sacrifice, your mental talking can get very dark. When you're going through suffering, the things that are said in your head and what Satan's trying to get in your head can be very dark. We've got to cling to love, we've got to cling to hope, and do those things which God would want us to do. Certainly, we see Jesus sacrifice, we see that Jesus suffered, and we see that Jesus gave it all. God gave it all. We think of John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God gave it all, Jesus gave it all. What should we hold back from one another? I know we're not perfect. It's amazing how God can use imperfect individuals, bring them together in one body to serve one another and to serve the world. It's amazing how God can use imperfection to accomplish His will. But should we hold anything back if God did not hold anything back? In Romans chapter 8, verse 32, it says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" If God is willing to give to the nth degree, if He is willing to give everything, what would He hold back? What would we hold back? I wonder that. I think that's a challenge for ourselves many times. It's a challenge for me. As we develop and we try to be better and we try to do more and we try to serve the Lord, certainly we're always going through this struggle, but what would you hold back from the Lord? When God has given you His Son, His only Son, He has given you everything that He can give, what would you hold back in giving back? Certainly something to think about. He gave His Son, His only Son. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, "For when He was still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You know, on occasion, people ask me questions. A lot of times these questions are in private. They're not in public, not meant to be public, but people ask me questions sometimes and say, "Why do you preach? Why do you serve?" Because I love you and I love the world. That's really what it breaks down to. I could find 1,000 reasons not to serve. I could find 1,000 reasons not to be a preacher. I'm sure people could find 1,000 reasons not to be an elder. I think people could find 1,000 reasons not to be a deacon. I think people could find 1,000 reasons not to serve their fellow man, to love their brothers and sisters in Christ and do what they can. But it boils down to the cross and going back to Jesus. When Jesus, we look at His steps, where does He lead? He leads the places that many people might not want to go. He leads to sacrifice. He leads to suffering. He leads to giving everything we can possibly give. And we understand that when we become New Testament Christians, in many ways, we are supposed to be a living sacrifice. I mean, that's what it says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. And we think of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. It says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Once again, you see that message ring again and again and again. Jesus gave Himself for us. How did He give Himself for us? He gave Himself for us out of love. Now we live for Christ. We live with the love which He modeled. We live with the sacrificial love that will drive us to do things that the world will scratch their head. Why would you sacrifice like that for another? Why would you put yourself through that for another? Why would you give so much? Because Jesus gave it all. When you think about yourself, are you a giver or a taker in relation to your life here upon this earth? In Acts chapter 20, verse 35, it talks about the idea of it's more blessed to give than to receive. God has given us so much. Perhaps it's our time to give as much as we can. Jesus served the world. He led to sacrifice. He led to suffering. He led to giving His all for mankind. Have you thought about that in relation to your service? As we turn our attention back to Matthew chapter 20, those individuals are asking how to be great. And certainly the idea was, if you want to be great, you need to serve. How have you served? How have you sacrificed? How have you suffered? How have you given your all for the Lord? I think a mistake that we all make from time to time is we think we're the only one that's sacrificing. We think we're the only one suffering. We think we're the only one giving our all. I think we make that mistake from time to time. I don't think it's uncommon when you look through the Old Testament. How many prophets said, "I'm alone. It's just me that's left." How many prophets sat down discouraged and put their hands down and said, "It just seems like it's just me out here." I think it's a common thing. But there are many individuals that are making sacrifices, and each of our sacrifices are unique to the Lord. I think of the woman that gave the mite. I think many of us look at ourselves and we think that we're giving the ultimate sacrifice. But really, it's all a matter of perspective. When I look at the prophets of the past, I haven't given anything. And in fact, when we look at Luke, and he says, "When we've done all things commanded, let us say we're unprofitable servants. We've only done that which was our duty to do." I think that's an attitude that we should carry. We should look at it and say, "I'm going to serve the best way I can. Even though it might be small in some people's eyes, I will serve in whatever way I can." Will you sacrifice? Will you suffer? Will you serve? Will you give your all as Jesus did? Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this morning. Might feel like that to you. I don't know. But perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this morning. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We would love to help you in any way that we can. Jesus died for you. We're saved by grace through faith. Certainly, He gave us that opportunity. Faith is there. We need to hear what God says and do it. If you need to become a New Testament Christian, need the prayers of the church, we ask you please come as we stand and as we sing.